Let's look to the Word of God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time we have to come and spend with you in your presence. And God, we ask you, God, that you know every heart that is here today, and you know every heart that is listening. And Lord, that you know their need and what they need from you. And God, I ask you to supply that need. Let the sinner find grace. Let the backslider find new hope. God, let those that are in need of a touch from you receive it this day. Anoint your word as it goes forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. The word of God is powerful. Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible tells me there's going to be a famine for the word in the land. You think, well, you know, you turn the TV on, you turn the radio on, there's somebody preaching everywhere you turn. But are they preaching the word? Are they preaching the truth? Are they preaching that which has been inspired by God? You know, our former president, he said in his conclusion speech to the nation that he didn't believe that the word of God was the inspired word of God. That's kind of a double standard, you know, when you say the word of God, but you don't believe that the word of God was the inspired word of God. It either is or it ain't. Not good English, but that's a fact. It either is or it ain't. Now, the thing about our God is the fact that his tomb, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, which came to become the propitiation for sin, he come to die and give and pay the price that you and I might live, his tomb is empty. All the rest of them is claimed to be the Messiah. All the rest of them is claimed to be God. You can find their remains. You can find their bones. But our Redeemer, he liveth and sits on the right hand side of the Father to evermore make intercession for the saints. Amen. He's God in the midst of his people. We sing that song a lot of time. Us Pentecostals sing that song. God's not dead. He's still alive. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel he's going to stand. Well, see, and he touched me by this spirit. I don't know about you, but I believe in staying in tune with God. And I hear this thing preached six ways to Sunday. You know, you got a crowd that preach, you can get it and can't ever lose it. You got a crowd that preach, you can get it and can't ever keep it. You know, that's the God's truth. Boy, if we could ever get that spectrum to come back and meet in the middle. Because I'm going to tell you something. And I hadn't thought this in years. And I'm glad I preach by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And I study and, you know, come in the station here this morning. And in between some of the programs I was producing, I was looking at scriptures and going over thoughts and preparing. I believe in being prepared. But I believe that the most important thing you ever say is that what's thus saith the Spirit of God. And if God quicken his word, it'll have a double full anointing and it'll go forth and it'll reach. It'll do something for you. It won't be like water running off a duck's back. Now the gospel is offensive. Those that don't want to hear the gospel, they don't like me. This county don't like me. This town don't like me. You know why? Because I tell them that sin is sin. And I tell them wrong is wrong. And I tell them you need to repent. And they say, oh, Brother Golda, he calls cast spells on people. I was showing a guy a report they done on me here some time back. Said he blowed on people and they fell out like cordwood. You know? Well, the power of God. I found most of the Christian world today just want to have a little bit of association with God, but they don't want to know him. They don't want to know him in the fullness of his power. I want to know him in the fullness of his power. When I go to the hospital to pray for somebody that's sick, I expect them either die or get well. You say, well, Brother Goad, that's pretty abrupt. In a lot of cases, it's time, their time to go. And you need to have a connection with God that you can either pray with them to the point that they have a peace in their soul, or they can get a release and go on to the reward. Or if it's not their time to go, the Bible says there is a sickness that is unto death. There's a time to die. Pointing to one, to man wants to die, and then the judgment. Life is like a vapor that vanishes. It appears for a while, and then it vanishes away. It's like a vapor, the word says. There is that appointed time of death, and a lot of times you go and you pray, and God releases that person, and they go on. But in so many cases, they just need a healing. They just need a touch from the Master. I seen Brother Bobby when he was laying there in the hospital from that wreck. He needed a touch from the Master. He wasn't about to die. If he was going to die, he'd have died when them trucks busted together. It wasn't his appointed time to die. I knew that when I went to the room. I knew that when I was in the hospital talking to him. I knew that he was going to get better. I knew that he was going to be restored. I want to be in tune with God so I can know, and I'll cover a little bit of that later in the message today. I want to be in tune with God. I don't want to be like a, you know, look like I stumbled in, didn't know where I come from, didn't know where I'm going. I mean, people are struggling. When you go to a bedside of somebody that's been maybe rushed to the hospital and they don't even know what's wrong with them, you need to be able to touch God. You need to be able to go and touch God and let them know that you've touched God. Amen. I remember one night they called me out about 3 o'clock in the morning and said this woman was going to die. They took her to the emergency room and she was laying there, and they called all the family and said, she'll be dead by daylight. I remember the Lord speaking to me and said, listen, this woman is not going to die. She's going to live. I remember praying with her, and I went, and I really didn't know her. I knew her family, but I didn't know her. And I went and took her by the hand there on the stretcher. They had her laying out, and they didn't push her out in the hall. They didn't even give her the common courtesy to put her in intensive care. They said, she's too far gone to do anything for her. And they just shoved her out in the hall. And I took her by the hand. She'd heard all that talk. You know, she bound to have been scared to death. She bound to have been petrified with fear. I took her by the hand, got a good hold to her in hand. I said, listen, I think if doctors give you this report, you need to know you're right with God. She got right with God, and I think she lived 16 years after that night. Amen. I remember a friend of mine called me to the Winston Hospital down at Baptist, I believe it was, and called me in there. And he was of a night also. They took his wife to the hospital, and they had told her she was going to die. Wasn't nothing they could do for her. She'd had cancer for 12 years that they'd told her at Oral Roberts Hospital in Tulsa that she was beyond any surgery and nothing they could do and sent her home. And she'd lived 12 years. But that particular night in that hospital, she wasn't ready to die. And I said to her, I said, listen, they tell me that you're going to die. The doctors say you're going to die. You're not going to live. And she said, yes, they've told me also. I said, well, sounds like we ought to get ready to die. She looked at me kind of strange, but listening to see what I was going to say. I said, in getting ready to die, you need to find out and know that you've got things right with God. We went through all of that. And I said, perfect love cast out all fear, to be absent in bodies, to be present with the Lord. I said, you know, if you make all these preparations. I was telling my wife this the other day. A lot of people, you know, they spend all their life worrying about dying. You ought to be more concerned about living than dying. Yes, there's an appointed time. But why fret and worry for 40 years or 60 years about it? Make peace with God. This lady made peace with God. A few hours later she looked over to her husband and said to me, "I'm going home." He looked kind of a worried look, come over his face for a split second. She said, "No, you don't understand. Get my clothes out of the closet there. I'm going home." She went home to her physical home and lived out the appointed time until God called for her. We must be able to know the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God. And we can't know that in the natural. And I see glimpses of things, and those glimpses of things sometimes turn into the greatest miracles that I've ever seen in my life. We got to be willing to hold on. We got to be willing to trust God. A lot of time God gives me a word at a time. And I'll live, listen, I've lived the last 2.5 years on one simple word. He said, stay. I was getting a little, kind of getting a little wore out on that thought. And I said to the Lord, you know, you said stay. Now how long? He sent me back to the same little plaque he'd given me 2.5 years before. And he said, read it. The next word I read is until. So I'm staying until, amen. No matter what comes, what goes, what the devil does, go under, go over, amen. It don't make no difference. I'm locked into what God has quickened in my spirit and has told me to do. In the natural, I wouldn't stay in this town long enough for you to boil water in the microwave. That's God's truth. I have organized churches, and we've organized churches all over the world. We've organized churches by the hundreds. I went in most any town I ever went into in 2 weeks' time. I had a building full. I wouldn't stay here long enough to get the water hot. But I have got a quickened word from God. So let's see what the outcome. Joel Osteen's church is one of the largest churches now in the world. You know, I thought a lot of his dad. Don't hear Joel preach anything from the pulpit that'll hurt anybody or anything contrary, anything negative. He's a very positive preacher. His daddy was a little more Holy Ghost, but Joel maybe will get there. He's encouraging a lot of people and trying to get people saved. But I heard Joel say the other day, first 10 years of him being there at Lakewood, he had a little old handful of people. I mean, just a handful. And all of a sudden, one day, God dropped a bombshell in that place, and it became one of the largest churches in America just in a few short years. I don't know. We a lot of time base what we do by what we are seeing with our physical eye, when we need to base what we are doing by what the Spirit of God is saying within us. I'm doing a lot of things that we do. I don't necessarily think that's what I'd want to do, but it's what God is quickening me to do. We're reaching people in the airways by the tens of thousands. We're changing lives. On the physical part, it's hell on earth, and I'm not cursing. But a lot of time, it's literally hell on earth right in the physical part day to day to make it all work and make it all function. But we must go by what we know in the spirit, not what we see with our eyes. God, he comes through. God never fails. He pays off just in time. He's a just-in-time God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's able to fulfill the promises of what he said, and he will not be slack, not on any one of those promises, but he will fulfill it to the uttermost. In the epistle of 1 John, in the second chapter, we read a simple little verse that says, right after he says in verse 20, and we'll go to 21, but in verse 20, he said, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, we by the Spirit of God, we have this unction with God. And we have this ability to know. We have this ability to see. That don't mean we're supposed to paint a big palm and start charging $10 for reading palms. That's of the devil. But we know by the Spirit. We have that feeling. Just like we know the end is at hand. We know that this thing is wrapping up. Everybody said, oh, America's going to be restored. I said, don't believe so. Don't believe so. It's too far gone. Now, somebody said, well, you oughtn't to mention names of religions. I think we better. I think it's time we tell the world that a lot of these false religions, these Eastern religion, this Muslim doctrine, they're making a big do now about burning the Quran. They're making a big do about building a mosque up there next to Ground Zero. First of all, I don't believe there ever should have been a mosque built on American soil. Now we've got politicians standing up and saying, well, I think I'm not going to make a decision or say what we should do, but I'm going to say that we need to give everybody the legal right to do what they want to. That's what they call bull in a 6-pound loaf of bologna. If you give everybody the right to do everything they want to, the flesh is going to take over, and every false religion and every cult that come down the pike is going to take over. We've already given our school system to it. We no longer teach God. We no longer teach Jesus Christ. Thank God the governor we got in the state right now had enough backbone to stand up when several folks went before the government of Virginia and said, hey, listen, they won't let our state chaplains pray in the name of Jesus. They won't let anyone use the word of Jesus. And he made a ruling that that would be acceptable, that, you know, if you can pray in the name of Muhammad, you can pray in the name of Jesus. So thank God for a man who had a little bit of backbone to stand up and say, we're going to continue to pray in the name of Jesus. But as a whole, our government is generic. They believe in a generic God. Our former president, our president today, says that we are not a Christian nation, but we are a nation of Muslim, Islam, and they name every one of them. No. This nation was founded on God we trust. Our forefathers come out of England. They come here so they can have freedom of worship. And they can worship God. Now they've turned this thing all the way around. And I hear these politicians get up and they say, well, now, they didn't come out of England to worship God. They come out of England so they'd have a separation of church and state. And now we have arrived at a separation of church and state. No, we have separated our government from God. We have separated our nation from God. We have separated everything we're about from God. That wasn't what this country was founded on. This country was founded on God. This country was founded to worship God. This country was founded to pray and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. But we have watched lobbyists go to Richmond, go to Washington, and they have turned this thing around to the point that they literally just plumb defy everything that this country was founded on or everything this country has stood for. The Bible says in Paul's writings in the 15th chapter and in verse 19, here Paul was talking about how he functioned and how he was able to go. This man was a man that had been blinded with a light from heaven on the road of Damascus, and he'd had a change, and now he was working for the Lord. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. He determined to them how he was able to come to them, how he was able to do the things. He was able to do it by the power of the Spirit of God. Paul later to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter, he explained to them in the first few verses how it wasn't of his excellent speech, but he come to them in the wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He goes on to explain to us, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in what? In the power of God. I used to tell people, and I say it many times, don't hold on to my coattail to get to heaven. Because what it'd do if I take my coat off? You'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? Get you a relationship with God. Don't just accept the fact that I said God has power. You said, go on home. Say, well, God, Brother Goat said God's got power. Get a hold of dose of it in your own life. Touch and plug into God and get a hold of that power that Paul's preaching about. Get it in your hand. Get it in your feet. Get it down in the midst of your soul. Get a hold of the real Holy Ghost of God, not this mockery we see on television today, not this sham. One preacher broached how he spends $5,000 and $10,000 a night staying in motels, living it up, and pays actors and actresses to fall out in the spirit in his program. We'd done tent crusades for years and years, and we had a statement we used to make. We cast out devils, and one we can't cast out, we knock out. And I found that to be the truth. There's a few you had to take by the nape of the neck and the back of their belt buckle and swing them up and take them and throw them through the side curtain of the tent. Because it's full of the devil. They didn't want help. They just come by the devil to tear up and destroy and to make havoc. There was others that come, was bound by Satan, but they come to be set free, and devils was cast out, and the glory of God fell, and the Holy Ghost fell. Amen. I've seen in the top of them tents get a blue haze in them just like smoke. And the power of God fall. We was in Charlotte, North Carolina one night. Here come a lightning storm. And buddy, if you've ever been in Charlotte, when they have a storm, they have a storm. They had an electrical storm. I remember fire danced and run on the cords and run out to the speaker cords all over the platform. I had a man with a 20-pound hammer out socking the stakes back in the ground, and they was flipping up 10, 15 feet in the air. He'd grab them, stick them back in, and I hollered, "You keep it in the air and we'll keep preaching." That service went on to 10, 11 o'clock at night, the power of God falling, people getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a God you can feel. I'm talking about a God you can have a personal relationship. I'm talking about a God, amen, that'll come to you in the fullness of his power. Paul said, this thing wasn't to me. It was by the power and the demonstration, he said, of the Holy Ghost of God. It gets better and better and better and better. I tell you it does. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah, 10 and 27? It said that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The reason so many lives are in bondage, so many churches are in bondage, so many people are in bondage is because they're not coming under that anointing. I made a statement one time, and you think about it. Those of you that worship with me for a lot of years, we went, I don't know, maybe 20 years and never seen a person in the congregation ever put to rest. People talking about what our church, somebody dying every other week. I said, we've been 20 years since we had somebody die. Why? Because there was anointing there. When they got a cancer, we cast the devil out of them and got the cancer's devil out of them. By the power and by the Spirit of God and by the anointing of God. You stay under the anointing and walk in the Spirit and the power and the fullness of God. Then it don't stop there. It continues on. The Bible said in Daniel in the 11th chapter, goes on to say in verse 32, tells what's going to happen to the wicked. But it goes on to say, but the people that do know their God, and I could preach another hour right there, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We're running out of time. I started to say at the first of this message, I thought of a thought. I had a lady to walk in my office in one of the churches I pastored. It's been probably 30 years ago. She walked in the office and she had a just hard look on her face, and she was telling me how that she'd been thrown out of a church and they put her out of the church and that she was no longer accepted in the church. And God had me to turn around to her, and when I turned around where she was saying that, I felt God in her life. And I rebuked that old spirit that had been put upon her, and I said, ma'am, I want to tell you something. You still got God in your heart. You've never denounced God. I said, some man's tried to take him away or denounce him, and man cannot pluck you out of the Father's hand. Man is not able to do it. The church, they can't take your name off the roll and send you to hell. They don't have the authority. They don't have the right. And I said to her, and about time I said that, I said, whoa, right there is the Spirit of God. She shouted. The power of God fell on her. She had herself a spell. She had been denounced and blackballed or whatever you want to say by man. She had been told that she didn't have God, didn't have the Spirit. And she had believed that lie. I said at the start of this message, some preach you can get it and can't lose it. Some preachers you can get it and can't keep it. I believe it gets you an experience with God. Get him in your heart, your soul. Let the power of God, let this anointing come to you. You'll walk up over top of your problems. You walk over demons. You walk over the devil. And you come out victorious. And at that great judgment day, you will stand before God. And you'll hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord that I've prepared for you. You can live today. And you can have life. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come to this moment in this service. God, we pray, Lord, let the backslider be reclaimed. Lord, let the sinner be saved. Let the man or the woman that needs a touch, let them receive it this moment in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.